I got a question for you guys. How do you feel about the genre of comedy that is cringe?
I do not like it.
I do not care for it at all.
Give an example.
Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that show.
So, it's amazing. Okay. Because apparently, if you Google Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave, you get a bunch of people that are just like, it's too obscure, it's too weird, it's a total cringe fest, I don't get it, it's a mess. And then you get other people that are like, this man is a visionary of comedy. And
yeah, like, I mean, that show's definitely not for everyone.
Yeah. The reason why I bring this up, too, is because the Detroiters suddenly showed up on Netflix at some point. And sometimes
show.
Fantastic show. There are times that, like, the Hannah and I just got done watching season two of Squid Games, for one. And that's a show that you maybe have to take a break from, you know, every time you watch it, because there's some crazy shit in that. And so I was like, let's watch The Detroiters after Squid Games, you know, to really, really, really clean the palate. And I cannot believe that people don't find this man as funny as I do. I just don't get it.
I mean, the show is like a pure meme factory.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so fucking funny.
Tim, you haven't seen that show, have you?
No, oh, man, I have not.
Yeah, I bet Ariel doesn't like that comedy, does she?
No.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
No, definitely. So I don't know how I just watched this episode, but it's the one where, so let me explain The Detroiters for those who don't know. Tim Robinson and his friend Sam, I forget his friend's name. Tim and Sam, they run a advertising company and in Detroit, obviously it's called The Detroiters, and they're not good at their job. Okay. They do not make great commercials. Okay. But they're funny. Okay. It's extremely funny. These guys are not really good at their job, but they do it for like small businesses and stuff. Hilarious stuff. And so in this one episode, they end up stealing a guy's client. And the guy turns out to just be insane. He's like a multi-billionaire or something like that. Yes. So like they go to this guy's house and it has the appearance of wealth. He's got like a robot wife that he tries to convince them is like convincing. It's not. That's apparently a smart house that just turns the lights off randomly. Like, it's so fucking funny. And then he shows them the concept car that is his magnum opus. And it's supposed to be like zero emissions, but it just takes the emissions and turns them into goop. And it looks like poop.
Brown goop.
It's a shitting car. And they're like, we can't sell this. They're like, you made a car that shits. He's like, no, it's zero emissions. They're like, it looks like shit.
They're like, can you make it any other shape or color? He's like, no, it smells.
No, I tried. So, my brother and I, maybe this is why we're brothers, we love like cringe comedy like that. Like our Instagram chat is just the weirdest shit that you can find on Instagram.
Oh yeah. Your chat with your brother looks a lot like the stuff that Jed's into.
it's so weird. It's like you have to be open to like, okay, this is gonna get weird and I'm not gonna understand it, but that's why it's funny.
Oh my god, that's definitely your comedy. The stuff you send me on Instagram, I'm just like, all right. I watch it, but sometimes I'm just like, man, I don't get it.
Wait, how does it rank with the stuff that I send you, Cal?
Oh, interesting. I don't know, you guys send me different things. It's completely different things. There's no real comparison. I enjoy them both in their own ways.
That's a very safe answer there.
Yeah, he's being really nice to both of us.
It's like, I love both my children equally.
I like what people send me. Even if I'm like, this isn't for me, I like seeing what other people are into.
Yeah.
If something has to do with football, I just send it to Kelly.
Yeah, John sends me football stuff, so.
All right. Honestly,
is that all your Instagram reel is, or is that the only thing that you think of me when you see stuff?
I've sent you stuff not related to football before.
Yeah, but, you have a couple times.
It's just whenever I think something's funny and sport related, I send it to James and you.
Yep.
Wait, same.
Yep. That's what Tim does with James and I. All right, I got a question. Uh-huh. So, Squid Game, season one. Obviously, it was a global phenomenon. Great season.
Yes.
Rebecca and I have not rushed to season two because I was mad that they were continuing the show at all, first of all. So I'm like, I'll wait for the reviews on season two because I don't need to watch it because I loved season one so much and I didn't need to see a continuation. So unless season two is season one quality, I'm probably not going to watch it. You're the only person I've talked to about it. So any good?
So, yeah. So I do agree it's good. The entire point of Gi-hun's thing is to try to dismantle the games. At the end of season one, spoilers, he makes it, and then he makes it his life mission at that point to like dismantle the game. So one, it's shorter. I think it's 7 episodes rather than 12 or whatever it was. And boy, do they leave it on a good cliffy, because it is very clearly they're setting up for a very big season 3. No, it's good. It's good. It's much less of the games than it was, and there's a good mixture of the investigation and the games part of it. And I think that they do a good job of sort of like, you already know what happened because you watched season one, so now you're looking at season two in a different perspective. And they're still keeping it interesting by still keeping you in the dark about some things. And so, like, there's a good bit of mystery to it. So, yes. In the 7 episodes.
It sounds good, but, like, I don't think it needed. Like, the sounds all very predictable. Season 1 was just so shocking. And I really would have just been happier with it ending with it ruining Gi-hun's life. Worse than his life was. His life was awful. He wins the games, he gets a shitload of money, but he's so traumatized and mortified that I thought that was an awesome ending. But I'm sure season two is good, but it doesn't sound like it's drawing me in.
I'll give you this. You say it's predictable. It is absolutely not. In whatever you're thinking. So,
yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, predictable in terms of direction of what he would do, like going back to his mantle games. Yeah. I'll probably watch it at some point, but I have so many shows in the docket, I gotta be choosy.
Yeah.
I'm only on season 4 of Shameless, and there's 11 of those.
Right.
Man, Jesus. I wanted to pick up that show years ago, and it's like, it's been on my list for years, and I really wish I had just started watching it a long time ago.
I was gonna say, if you like The Office, then you like some cringe, by the way. So the Office is widely favored by many, many people. Probably one of the most relevant shows still to this day.
I think Instagram cringe versus TV cringe is it's a different level.
I completely agree with you.
Like, those shows are cringy, but yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I tick my sister off every time I see her. Yeah, man, can you believe that Arrested Development is so much funnier and more interesting than The Office? Pisses her off every time.
Oh, man. I mean, to be fair, you're right.
Yeah, you are correct, yeah, actually.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd be willing to watch Arrested Development over The Office any day. I personally just am not a big fan of The Office. I watched a couple seasons of it just because everywhere that the people I lived with at the time, like, all watched it. But I was like, I'm good. Like,
yeah. The Office is weird for me because I feel like the further away I get from the last time I watched it, the more I think I didn't like it. And then every time I watch it again, I'm like, this show fucking rocks. If you don't focus on Jim and Pam, because I hate Jim and Pam and their story's stupid, just focus on everybody else. They're all awesome.
Creed is amazing. Creed's my favorite.
Creed's amazing. Yeah. Michael's awesome. Dwight's awesome. Andy's awesome.
Kevin's great.
Yeah.
Jim
with Dwight is great, but Jim and Pam, I don't get people who stand Jim and Pam. They're not that great of a couple. There's way better couples out there.
Didn't they write at some point that, like, that Pam was, like, didn't they write at some point, or they thought about writing Pam into having an affair or something like that? I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, that was like later seasons.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like why would you write that?
I mean, honestly, I thought like the main point of that show was pretty much everyone was so damn flawed that you really shouldn't have to be like, oh, they're a perfect couple. No, everyone in that show was kind of terrible. So
yeah. That's what makes a good show, though, is that, like, you have to have characters that are likable, but are extraordinarily flawed.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely why Arrested Development is great. It's Always Sunny, one of the best shows ever, because they're all
everyone's
terrible.
Everyone's a piece of shit, and they never
everyone's really terrible. But there's one show where everybody's great, and they're heroes. And that's the Dragon Punch Squad podcast.
And we're fucking winners.
We're winners.
All those combats without resting. That was insane. That is how.
Now we all. That's how we all take turns sleeping on the anvil.
We should not be alive.
No. I was talking to a colleague today, and they're gamers, but they're not like tabletop gamers. So I was describing to them what a TPK was. They're like, okay, well, how many of your party died? I'm like, well, actually, none of us did. And I was like, but we were one AoE spell away from like three of us being down at once. And then, you know, Mark with his piercing arrows against Jigaki. Yeah, done.
Mark got blinded and paralyzed in that combat.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were two critical failures, right?
Yeah. But the blind condition, I think, was just a failure.
Yeah, I know, well, no, otherwise it would have been permanent blindness, right? Yeah. So you failed and then you critically failed paralyzed.
Yeah, I think a fail is a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's what you had.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Critical failure is around.
Yeah, critical failure is the target is blinded permanently. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah, a failure for that and crit fail for the paralyzed.
For paralysis, yeah.
Which honestly sucked. Yeah, thankfully, Benson fucking just smashed Jigaki.
Right? Like,
yep. It's like, yep. The crazy thing is, because of how the last fight went with the what kind of giant was he?
Big giant.
He was
the shadow giant.
Shadow giant?
Umber?
Idrucian.
Because Benson soloed that guy, like,
yeah.
I was like, I think we're powerful enough to do one more kind of big fight. It was like, we were really on the line.
I mean, we weren't expecting four undead bears.
No.
That just was a wall of undead flesh, and with him doing AoE spells that, frankly, targeted everyone's, besides elks, I mean, like, reflex saves. Mm-hmm. Reflex saves.
If he had gotten a really big bear army, this dude would have fucked some shit up. Like, taking over this, like, this country.
Yeah.
Help me, Jake. We know we saw his soul fly out, right?
Yep.
So help me, if you touch Big Bumble, I will have your head.
You don't control me. speaking of the bears, do you guys want to roll a knowledge check on the bears?
Knowledge religion.
Yes, they are undead, so it's knowledge religion.
Today I shall be rolling Black Oak Workshop's gelatinous cube set. They glow in the dark. Got bones all over them, because it's a cube. Hey, first roll of the night, which was off air, I got a netty 19, which is sick. So I guess this still has their luck in here. I'm slowly draining it, because the next roll was a natural 15 for a 34.
34, that is a success. These are ghastly bears. So they, in fact, they have the stench, which you know about.
Right.
They have the claws, which can infect you with paralysis.
That's what they were trying to do.
Did we never fail a paralysis?
No, you didn't.
Wow.
They also have something called consumed flesh. If a ghastly bear is adjacent to a corpse of a creature that died within the last hour, the ghastly bear devours a chunk of the corpse and regains 6d6 hit points.
Huh.
Okay.
If it grabs you, it does more damage rolls and stuff like that if it has you grabbed. However, the one thing that we need to remember here is that the jaws, They also do paralysis, for one, but they also give you ghast fever.
Yeah, oh. I had just remembered John failed the fortitude save on the disease.
Yeah, Benson yep. is technically suffering from the disease, but it yep. isn't made itself known yet.
Well, yes. Also, I failed, so with my feat, I still got a success.
No, it only applies if you get a success.
Yeah. Well, Tim, how about we just pretend that you didn't just say that?
cut it.
we always think about the fact, why don't we just ignore that? But
it's only a disease. You guys will nail the fortitude saves at some point.
Oh, yeah, all you have to do is yeah. roll a success so, and you're
what
fine.
What does this thing do? And if yeah, you, so, it probably turns you to a gas. That's my
so I don't know how relevant it will be, but it's you don't feel anything. But let's see how you feel tomorrow.
I'll be fine.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll wake up and shake it off.
Yeah. Maybe.
Benson, wake up. Oh fuck, he's dead. Like
oh no, he's a dead bear.
He turned into a ghast bear.
Yes, when you die you turn into a ghastly bear.
But hey, if Benson turns into a ghastly bear, at least we know he has two more evolutions.
Oh.
Haunter bear, Gengar bear.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it took you that long to make a Pokemon joke.
Oh, I was itching. I was just waiting for my moment.
that being said, the Grimshaw, you would know that Benson did take a few jaw strikes, and so see that's the thing is that you don't know whether or not he would be infected, but let's just say tomorrow you guys need to see how you feel to determine whether or not you contracted anything.
You also don't have to give him all the info.
Right. Maybe it's something like I know that the bear has the capability to give this, right?
Exactly. So,
but yeah. I'm no priest. I'm no doctor. I just know the terrible things that some monsters can do. So maybe as we're like healing up, you know, before we kind of enter the room, I see that Benson has kind of like a festering wound that, you know, something like that. We're like, oh, like, you know, we're healing it. And I'm like, Benson, that bite looks pretty bad. I'd keep an eye out on that. These bears that we fought, they have the ability to transmit diseases. Being blessed by the goddess, it shouldn't be a problem for you, but it is something that we should keep an eye out for.
The thought has crossed my mind. Thank you for pointing it out, though.
Kezra, like, he's like, walks over on... He's, like, using the Staff of the Dead that he just picked up as, like, a walking stick, because he's, like, he's in bad shape. And he pulls out a vial and hands it to Benson. He's like, better take this. And he gives you a lesser anti-plague. Whoa. Plus two to fortitude saves against diseases for one day.
Oh, right.
So, down that I think we got now that, or... like... going to the Mwangi. I've had it in my inventory forever.
Yeah, that
after
was wild.
We didn't suffer from malaria
right.
or anything
or,
else.
Or arsenic
right,
poisoning.
Yeah, right,
nobody...
right.
So,
that's the intention behind it, but yeah.
Where's my wand of water? Who has that?
It's on...
you have a wand of great water? Corpse. Oh, yeah, I remember that thing.
Well,
yes.
You failed that check and used it on the goal.
Yeah, yeah. Where is it?
Wand of
my wand of
Pippin Zarf might have it.
Oh no.
I mean that's fitting.
So we used it instead of tombstone, bro.
Anyway, Kezra had three of these anti-plagues. So if the worst were to happen, you can have them for a couple more days.
Alright.
Taking some Gatorade and Mucinex and you'll be red as rain.
Yep. Here's some Dayquil.
Mix some Dayquil and NyQuil together, you'd be fine.
I make my own rules. I drink Dayquil at night.
Dayquil doesn't actually make you better. It just makes you insanely high.
That's the good part.
You don't
That's
say.
The point.
Jake, put that Dayquil down.
You're not my dad.
Just makes you think you're a superhero.
Also, it's just like seeing Kezra with two staves. You're like, ah, geez, Kezra, why do you have two staves?
Right, he's literally he's holding this new fucking Staff of the Dead, and he stowed his Staff of Fire Greater that's like burning at the ends over his behind his head.
from the like the bird skull. So he has he has two staves with skulls on them, which is kind of fucking awesome.
Hell yeah!
That staff of fire had like a bird skull, and now this one has just a I don't know what kind of skull. Scary one.
In his picture, let me pull up his picture.
It's like a goat.
Oh no, it's a fucking bear skull.
Oh, it's a bear skull. That's right. So I have a staff with a like a vulture skull and a staff with a bear skull on it.
Sick.
So Kezra's gonna have to go goth.
I mean, honestly, you just duct tape them together, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
make it a dire mace.
I also can't help but notice that you're the spellcasting equivalent of a witcher.
Yeah.
Because witchers always have a silver sword and a steel sword.
Yeah.
Also, when you said that staff is +1 striking.
+1 striking, yeah.
So you can hit with it?
Yeah, it has the statistics of a staff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a one-handed or two-handed, D4s or D8s.
Sick.
Damn.
Yep.
So you have a 2D8 weapon, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I got the claw, which is much better.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it has 1d6 fire, and it has crit effects.
Yeah, but when do you crit?
Wow.
I still get the fire.
Guys, we just finished combat. Let's not start another one.
Roll initiative.
Kezra versus Grimshaw, let's go.
Oh, that's an easy fight.
Yeah, that's the other one. That won't last long. What are you guys doing right now? You guys have defeated Dragaki. You know he's gone for some amount of time somewhere.
Right.
But you guys know that you are not in great shape, and you are still in their base.
Yeah.
What is your next course of action here?
We have to barricade and heal up.
Jake said last episode that we could do that off air. So I just made myself full health and restored my focus points.
Then I will do that too.
I will do that too.
You guys are going to go to do a long rest and stuff then?
Yeah. Well, long rest. I think we should leave this place and rest outside the mines.
Yes.
The thought of sleeping here makes me uneasy.
Yes, plus I believe our giant friend that left earlier indicated that there were snipers up on the route on the quarry, so we would have to be careful. But at least we now have the route to get behind them.
Well, we don't know if that route will exist tomorrow.
In that case, don't do something daring. Elk would like to stealth out since he's at full health at this point and lost the wounded condition finally. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he wants to stealth out there. Because you said it was the one to the north, right?
The one that had the snipers?
Yes.
So if we go to. Where's the quarry itself?
They're like on the top of the quarry. I feel like it'd be like hours of travel.
So let me
wants to take a look like what's up there. That way
let me bring you guys over to the quarry.
Oh Jesus. I'm zooming out.
So,
hold on.
I was gonna say I'm gonna bring your tokens to the center of the quarry. You obviously are not there, but I'm doing that because you guys will have vision, so
my god, it takes so long.
It does.
Yeah, I clicked and dragged, and it's taking them a whole minute to, like, zoom up there. So, you see each of these, like, ramps right here? If you zoom all the way out, you might be able to see my pings. Maybe.
Maybe not.
I don't think I can see them.
I see them.
All right, way up there.
Way up at the top.
So that is like out of reach. It's like way up there, but you can see you can see bars. So consider it like a window. You wouldn't be able to climb that. But that's where Adrushian was saying that the snipers are watching from.
You said just the north side. You said.
So the place that I'm pinging. Remember how there's a ramp that goes incrementally up around clockwise around like the entire quarry itself. Yes. When it gets to there at the end of it, the slope is too high for you guys to climb, and that's where they are, because that has the greatest vantage point, especially for being snipers. So that's where he indicated. But you know that where you guys just were is over here on the west side, all the way on the west.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that there is a steep ramp on the north wall western edge, and it looks like there's grooves in the center north. It looks like there's grooves that look like they might have been dug out for some reason. It looks like maybe just rainfall or something like that. It's sort of like worn away.
Okay. But like, it basically, like, if I think I was just more or less asking, like, that one route that would go north, that will eventually lead up there.
Eventually. So if you took the route
to the right, maybe.
If you took the route to, well, okay. So if you went through the cave the way that you were going, like where you met Jigaki, remember how there was that hallway that went to the north?
Yeah.
That'll eventually come out to the room all the way here on the left north side. But it doesn't look like there's a way to the spot where the snipers are.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I was just kind of trying to figure out a good spot to, you know, rest for the night.
I mean, the easy situation is we leave, we rest up, we come back, we get as close as we can. We just send Vamir and Kesra, just fly up there, grab them, and drop them.
I mean, I was honestly thinking that the whole time. I was like, man, I remember reading a documentary about golden eagles and how they would grab goats and chuck them off mountains. And I'm like, yes, we can do that.
So wait, the goal, you guys want to go after the snipers when we come back?
Well, we're going to continue along the path that was north of Jigaki's little altar, or Minderhall altar.
Yeah, we'll deal with the snipers
some other time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, because we can't really free these people with snipers.
Right.
All right.
But I will say that Elk is looking at the corpses of the bears kind of with, like, absolute disgust, because, like, with how they were animated, and you said, like, they were kind of experimented on, you're kind of, like, insinuating that Jigaki was messing with them.
He was just taking bears and then turning them into ghastly bears.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's such a aberration, like, of life and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
While he doesn't exactly understand it, like, he wants to kind of just dispose of them. Like how unnatural necromancy kind of is in general. But, like, what he did is kind of, like, just an affront to this sort of thing. So he's kind of questioning if he wants to just, I don't know, light the bodies on fire. It's not like it's going to matter, but.
Yeah, I mean, you can try to take time to do that. There are a lot of bodies.
Just the
bears.
It would be pretty intimidating for anybody who comes and investigates the smoke.
What the hell happened in there?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
There's not a stone giant left.
There's not a stone giant left.
Yeah.
Because, we, like, chopped up the stone giants so they couldn't get reanimated. Yeah. We very specifically did that. So.
Yeah, no, he's particularly just going after the bears.
Right.
Because the bears are these undead monsters, basically, at this point. So, yeah, there's a giant fire right there. So, he's just gonna burn maybe some of the clothing from the dead stone giants and throwing them on there as we're leaving.
Yeah, there is one thing that Grimshaw wanted to talk to Benson about. Maybe as Elkwood is taking care of these, aberrations. Benson, I know you've picked up on it, but the altar here to Minderhall has been turned into something that it is not supposed to be. I don't condone Minderhall as a god, but I do agree that the gods are due their respect. I don't know if you carry holy water, but perhaps we could pray over the altar. I wouldn't want a ghost or a haunt of Minderhall to follow us
because we didn't remove Jigaki's stain from here. I'm not sure, though. What do you think?
Isn't Minderhall an evil god?
Yep. I mean, he is.
He would look at you like puny little stains on the bottom of his feet.
Yeah. I don't particularly give a fuck what he thinks. I've got some holy water if he would like it.
Since like my job's worrying about the church. Right. I don't care about that one church.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess perhaps Grimshaw is a little different in that way. So he'll be like, I'll say a prayer. And he does pour out the holy water, and he, you know, prays to Milani, like,
do with this altar as you please. It's been tainted by undeath and the unnatural.
The musical genre metal.
And the musical genre metal.
Milani's metal in a different sense. So it's interesting because Milani is chaotic good.
Right.
And he's lawful evil. So that is the farthest juxtaposition you can have.
But also alignment isn't a thing anymore in Pathfinder. Oh, I know that. So that's the thing. That's the other thing where it's everything is a little different.
The way they act is because they're
alive. Yeah.
Why the fuck would I care? Get out of here, man.
Right,
Oh, here we go. Edict, strictly follow established tradition. Conquer the weak. Obey those in power. How's Milani feeling about that?
Maybe he thinks twice after.
Lowercase evil.
Yeah, it sounds pretty antithetical to what he believes.
Grimshaw suddenly feels his powers being taken away from him.
Milani's
like, what the fuck?
This is what we call the difference between character knowledge and player knowledge.
Of course, yeah. So here's the thing is that you recognize Jigaki was doing something in essence sort of like, not that he was doing something against Minderhall, but it's almost like he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Which is almost like worse, because it's just like, if you cared to hate me enough, you know what I mean, then I would take offense. You know, I could take offense and want something, but like, you just don't care. It's like that kind of thing. But like, so you, in a way, you probably feel the same way as if like somebody just like disregards Milani's edicts and stuff like that. You're just like, no, like, this is important. You know, like there's power behind these edicts and stuff. So like, while you feel that in the same way when you pray over it, you still feel uneasy. You feel uneasy because Minderhall cares to dismantle everything that you were trying to do.
Yeah,
and you and your god are trying to undo all that he does. Mm. He's probably totally fine with all the slaves out there in the pits. He's like, yeah, make them work. Well, you're like, they need to be set free. It's like there's some tension between Milani and Minderhall in this way.
While you're doing that.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing, perhaps.
Yeah. While you're in there pondering over whether to or clean up this little area, you smell something, you look down the hallway, and Kezra is pissing on the pile of Jigaki's ashes. He just looks at you like,
hey. he just sniffs asparagus.
So, you know, I'm over here having this, you know, internal religious experience, and then, you know, just see
lighting shit on fire.
Just, like, Elkwood's lighting stuff on fire. Kesra's pissing on corpses. I just look over at Benson. I'm like, ugh. This is typical.
Benson's like, fuck those
Benson's
guys.
Like, I don't give a fuck, man.
We leaving yet? Like, we gotta get out of here.
Yep.
Let's go.
Alright, so you get out. You guys just want to go take a long rest? Outside, I assume.
Camp in the woods.
Oh yeah, we'll have to.
How do you guys leave? You guys are just going to go through the same way that you came?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're not going out to the middle. No. Right. We know that's where we get shot down.
So, as you leave, on the table where you guys were going, you find what appears to be a leather wrap that appears to be... It appears to be finely made, and the... how do I describe this? It looks as though it was made by a shadow giant.
Oh, so it might be a gift?
Can you make us a memento?
It appears that he did leave you something.
Oh.
You open it up, and you find three scrolls.
Whoa.
Please update these to be whatever the remaster version is.
Okay.
First scroll, go ahead and roll knowledges. This would be...
19. I got it. I have Arcana.
Okay, I will give you the first one then, because that actually makes sense. It is Scroll of Summon Celestial.
Whoa.
Oh, damn.
The next one would be Arcana. So I'll have Kezra roll that
34.
One. Scroll of Teleport.
Holy shit, what?
Teleport.
Yep.
Oh, shit. I almost wanted to learn that spell.
And then the last one...
It's only one of the best spells in the game.
Yeah. Last one, anybody can roll it. I'll say probably more of a divine thing.
28.
But, all right.
But for Arcana.
Oh.
If you will give it.
Natty 12 with a plus 19,
31. 31. Right. I'll say Grimshaw gets this one. Scroll of Regenerate.
Regenerate.
Solid. All right.
Like I said, these are pre...
Right. Yeah. Yep. Huh.
Very solid, though.
Yeah.
In case someone loses a limb.
So the...
Do we know what level the celestial one is? There's lots of different levels.
It is 5th.
Sweet.
What? I don't see.
So I'll give you, this is funny. It's an ivory scroll tube with a platinum filigree. It contains, I'll read this out of the book because it's funny. Three scrolls the giant doesn't know how to use, but that he hopes to trade with a spellcaster for magical favors. Nice. So he probably killed a spellcaster. I was like, I can't use these.
There's no pictures on these.
What do you want me to do? That being said, he could not use it. Therefore, you can
have regenerate it. Is divine and primal.
Okay, so yeah. Oh, so then, yeah, it definitely makes sense.
Gain regeneration 50. This is a 7th level spell. You gain regeneration 15. You get 15 hit points at the beginning of every round for minute.
Yep.
Wait, say it again?
Regenerate 15. Is a 7th level divine or primal spell. You gain regeneration 15 for 1 minute. Meaning you get back healing 15.
Whoa. That's me or Tim's, right?
That's crazy.
So, Kelly, you can't
die while you're under the effect of it either.
Wow. Oh, I want that.
You can get wounded, but you can't progress beyond dying 3.
Yeah, it's literally like the regenerate that the Lenorm or the Evangelist has.
Unless you take acid or fire damage.
So I can't use it unless... I didn't take Trick Magic Item, did I? Nope.
I have Trick Magic Item.
I do too.
So you guys can attempt... I mean, you can't cast that because you can't cast 7th level spells, but when you get to a high enough level, you will.
Okay.
You'll have to be level 13 to use that.
Whoa.
Roma's there.
But the celestial one...
I was going to say, you do have a scroll of summon celestial now. So it says, you summon a creature that has the celestial trait and whose level is 5 or lower to fight for you.
Okay.
GM might determine your deity restricts the specific types of celestials, you know what your deity would approve of. Right. It says, for instance, Calistria doesn't typically allow her followers to summon aeons.
What? Surprising.
Calistria, the woman that's all about revenge, doesn't really care for things that are things that I have a strict right and wrong.
Yeah, seriously.
Lighten up. Anyway, so the yeah, there's some fun stuff you can summon with this. Even at this level, you can summon a Hound Archon, which is fucking awesome.
Wait, is that something that Kezra can use, or...
No.
No? Nope. Yeah, okay.
I can use the teleport spell, that's it.
I mean, yep. Just the teleport spell. Oh, wow. You can teleport... wait, is the range on teleport, is it pretty much just anywhere? As long as you've been there. Like, I just the
range is only 100 miles.
Yeah, it goes up in range at 7th level to 1,000, and then eventually it goes to planetary.
Planetary.
1,000 miles is, like, insane, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like, are we even actually 100 miles from Breach Hill? I don't... Maybe?
I would have to pull up both the map on that, but...
I don't think... Maybe. We're probably close to 100 miles from Breach Hill.
Well, wait, no, sorry, hold on. You know what, I'll... why you guys did this in roleplay? Let me figure that out.
Alright. We get around the fire that night.
Oh, yeah.
And, just, like, recapping the fight, just how crazy it was. And then Kezra looks down at the gauntlet that he's taking off for the night. And looks over to Grimshaw. It's like, you know, I lied to you the other day.
You've lied to me about many things.
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, I didn't know you were keeping track. but the other day, when we were still traveling, when you asked me about the gauntlet.
Oh yes, the merchant, yeah, right?
Yeah. I didn't think you believed me very much, but... I didn't get it from a merchant. I did get it in Kintargo. I had followed Lil Kezra. He led me back down into the caves and deep under the city. I walked and crawled and traversed these caves following him.
Wait a second, are you telling me that you went through the crack... underneath Thorny Rose?
Yeah, that one.
Gods be damned, I told Bob to seal that hole!
Goddamn insurance liability! Kill us for this!
You didn't sustain any injuries by chance, did you? At least not until you were like 70 feet out of the Thorny Rose, do you think?
Kendra's like, oh, God, my back! You better have insurance. But yeah, I'll be eating Reuben. So anyways, I'll be eating Reubens forever when I own the tavern.
Like, do you want to aim for the medical?
But he led me under the city, and I found something down there.
What did you find?
You never believe me. Does the name Rivazare mean anything to you?
Grimshaw, as you know, is very pale. Like, more pale than typical Kyall because he has the deep Kyall, ancestry feature, so he has cold resistance. He gets even paler. And... He looks for something, like maybe we're sitting around, like something to ground himself. He reaches out to like a rock or maybe the stump we're leaning on.
Swear on your life. Swear on your life that is who you saw.
That's who it was. I know it. The bleeding scar on her chest of Asmodeus and all.
But that's impossible. She's dead.
No.
She's still in the city, deep beneath it.
And why are you alive?
And then he looks at the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And it dawns on him.
I don't know why Lil Kezra led me there. I haven't divulged much to this group.
And he's not keeping this conversation secret from Elk or John or Benson. If they
do John, what are you doing here?
John's there.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, this is my guy. Friend John, man. He just came over.
John never passes up on a good fire.
Nah, guys, he's cool. All right, I vouch for him.
But something I didn't talk about with any of you is I have somewhat of a patron back home in Thuvia. Great blue ancient dragon. And she had visited the keep at Breach Hill once. That's when I obtained Lil Kezra. I don't know if she sent me down there or not. But either way, Rivazair was there, greeted me, knew I was coming, gave me this gauntlet. Took it. I wouldn't die.
In exchange for what?
That's the thing. She didn't ask for much. She asked me to continue investigating the Crimson Triad. That's all. I couldn't get more details out of her. So, for whatever reason, our goals aligned. I took the gauntlet. And yeah, that's the whole story. I did have some weird nightmares the other night. That's why I ran off.
And that's why you appeared butt naked in my room?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how I got there. But you weren't in my dream.
All right, well, I mean, on the one hand, I'm actually kind of relieved because I didn't know how to let you down easy. But on the other hand, making deals with a dead dragon or a dragon that should be dead is a dangerous, dangerous gamble. When she comes to collect on her favor,
he like picks up his morning star.
Your blood will be all over this. If it endangers,
points to Benson.
Him.
Points to Elkwood.
Him.
And points back to himself.
Or me. Or anything regarding our mission. She says she's for it. I don't buy it. And I know you don't either.
I don't trust anyone. I also don't keep my word, so she doesn't have a good judge of character.
You do know who Asmodeus is, right?
Yeah, what contracts or something.
Everything comes at a price. If you go back on your deal, you might lose more than body and soul.
Hey, she said investigate the Scarlet Triad. My goal is to have every one of them dead, burned, shocked to death. So, seemed to be a good deal.
I just look over at Benson.
Hey, I'm just walking into this group, but, what's your take, huh? You've been listening. You're awfully stoic over there. Hear one of your comrades say they made a deal with the devil.
It's just another dragon.
well,
another dragon.
As of right now, he's too useful to do anything with. It's not my place to judge him. If it turns out that the inheritor's will is for me to end his life, I will. But right now, we need him. And he was a good friend before.
Oh. You don't have to get all sappy on me there, Benson.
Shut up.
Shut up, you devil worshiper.
Shut up, I'll fight you.
And what say you, Mr. Grimm?
Well, if there's anything in my life that I realized is that whenever a deal is made, there's always a cost, especially with certain characters like this. I haven't quite divulged too much, but I've worked for some unsavory characters in the past, and while something seems to be too good to be true, it usually is. And this dragon, I may not know of it, or any further knowledge of it. I mean, they all look like scaly beasts to me that can talk and do magic. But I have a feeling, Kezra, that there will be payment. And, well, I'm not going to judge you. That would be very hypocritical on my part to do such. Yeah. But I would be wary.
We spent so much time on the road, I hardly get any time to gamble anymore. This is the best thing I got.
Oh, yes, I get that. But usually when it comes with a mark of Asmodeus, which my benefactor at one point has repeatedly said, deals are to be made.
I don't mean to lose the thread on Kezra making deals with a dragon devil, but benefactor, Elwood?
I mean, since we're airing all of this out, back before I met all of you, I lived in Absalom, and I worked for some unsavory types, and while I don't think he exactly understood Asmodeus, I think he saw the core tenets of making deals and twisting them to be in his favor. I would say that I conned enough insight to see when things go bad. And, well, in this case, he never provided much besides a roof over my head at some point, but he's constantly looking, and actually, before we left, he came to visit. And he will never leave me alone, it seems. That was the deal I made, is that I'm stuck. And, well, I'm just same thing, actually. It's quite strange. Investigate the Scarlet Triad. And kill as many as you can. Well, he added that last part, so...
Yeah. She didn't tell me not to kill.
Oh, no. He definitely said to kill them.
Because I'm going to kill all of them. Literally all of them.
Yes. No, let's kill all of them. I'm perfectly fine with that. But the Scarlet Triad, it just... I know this is something that we've been hearing bits and pieces of, but how widespread they're getting and their hooks being put into everything. I mean, that even certain... Well, again, this dragon, I have no idea of how extinctly powerful they are. You make him seem like a god of sort over there, Grimshaw. But even if just a criminal overlord is wary of them, I mean, this intensely, they must be cooking up something.
I can see how the criminal underground they do not make any allies with each other. I also can see that perhaps there are hidden motives for your dragon patrons. But tell me, both of you, do they know of the ring underneath Breach Hill? The one that teleports us places?
Well, I'll put it like this. They most likely know, but have no idea how to activate it. But I also have a foreboding feeling that it's not just them we're going to have to watch out for. I have no love for my benefactor, as he wills. I'm just trying to actually escape his gaze as much as possible. But if I'm just going to put this out there, this ring that allows us to teleport in multiple locations in the world, who else might know about this now? We have started to dig up Citadel Altarine. We have started to rebuild it. Do you not think that is drawing attention?
So Grimshaw came after you guys started rebuilding, right?
When did you guys rebuild?
We put the goblins to task when we got there, right?
Goblins, yeah. Yeah, they rebuilt. I'm just talking about the dwarves. You know that the dwarves got commissioned to...
But they dug out that center way. Yeah. They started rebuilding the walls partially and stuff like this. And I would think, even other Hell Knights. I'm just thinking, this structure that was once run by Hell Knights, I could see the word getting out into the world of, hey, something's going on over at this old Del Altarine. What's going on over there?
I can tell you when it comes to the Hell Knights. I don't know if it's ever. I don't know how you guys would find this out, but I can give you something behind that. Literally, the Hell Knights wanted to have a base set up everywhere, and then all of a sudden, the Queen was like, "All right, Hell Knights report back to Varisia," and that was it.
Okay,
so they were going to utilize it, but then it just got abandoned.
Yeah, and then literally they were just like, yeah, never mind. That's just what the Hell Knights do sometimes. They just decide to go do something.
So there's probably some obscure document in Varisia that detailing this effort, and then it was abandoned.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only Hell Knight that feasibly knows right now is Alok.
Right.
So
we have to kill him. Oh, no. No, he already had a kid in the future. We can't do that. It would destabilize the timeline.
So you're telling me that all of Breach Hill knows you have magical portals.
Oh, I wouldn't say all of Breach Hill, but, I mean, while we're here, in a different area, someone could sneak in.
That's true, you do have Pip and Sarf as your caretakers. No offense, Kessra, but they don't seem like, sentinel material.
Not to mention, we also brought the kobolds over.
Also, Lionel is in charge of the defenses of that castle.
Ah, right. Well, I feel a little better. Actually, a lot better. She's a black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the famed house.
She's fucking badass.
But even she has to sleep at some point.
I guess we don't know what happened in episode 100.
No, we have no idea.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, unless one of them sent a message to you, which they didn't.
Dream message. Hey, by the way, killed Bogeyman. Bye. Wait, what?
wait, what the fuck? What? Should we go home?
Save goblins. Bogeyman got killed. Cool.
All right, regular Tuesday. Nice.
But, that's actually something that I was thinking about the other day, too, because I was like, you know, we're gone for a while, and... You know, word travels very easily. And I know Breach Hill isn't a big town or anything like that, but, I mean, people start to wander. And all you have to say is, there's an elf, something with elves underneath this castle. And rumors start, and all it takes is more people.
But from what you're telling me, everywhere that the Scarlet Triad has cropped up, there's been a corresponding gate, right?
Yeah, I think the
only place...
Back in the Mwangi, you mentioned.
Well, they...
By Kentargo.
Well, in the Mwangi, they weren't there specifically. It was the Cinder Claws, which were
right, the Cinder Claws.
By them. But the... Yeah, because there was no Scarlet Triad actually there.
No, but what you did gather from...
But they were using the cult of the Cinder Claw.
They were providing them stuff in order to because they wanted them Belmazog, that was her name.
Yeah.
They were giving her things in order to gain control of that gate.
Yeah.
If you remember, Vaz right. was talking to Laszlin to gain control of the gate underneath the Citadel. So
they know.
So the Scarlet Triad has ideas of where these things are, and they're trying to gain control of them wherever they find them, it looks like. So it's safe to assume that they are already ahead of you wherever these things might be. Yeah. So when you go to the next gate, they're probably there in some fashion because they've been working at this for who knows how long. Yeah. trying to get control of each of these things.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, we're only, you know, four people. And they have an entire organization, like, that we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of overwhelming in the sense of, okay, we can destroy them each time they pop up.
Hmm.
But at the same time, like, you're seeing what they're doing. Like, you know, enslaving entire shipyards. They're killing people. Massacring towns. It's just kind of insane, like, oh, when we go through the portal again, when we figure that out, what happens? What's next? Do we go in and a bomb falls on us?
Like, yeah, at what point do they predict our next move? It seems that they've been getting wise to our tactics. We almost died in that last fight. They know our weaknesses. They know we can't move fast from spells that cover wide areas. They target our minds. Benson, I feel that our minds have been strengthened, but that's very recent. It's an arms race. We have no choice but to keep going, but I do wonder if Citadel Alterine is the key, and we're leaving that key on the kitchen table for anyone to take. And now we have a deal with the Dragon Devil, a benefactor of a crime lord. The odds seem to stack up against us.
Well, I mean, while we're all out here saying this about you, Grimshaw, since, I mean, I know that you're working with the Milani and all that, but despite our unsavory backgrounds, as you were, I'm just curious, what else have you done?
You know that when I found your group, I was alone. You know that the Crimson Briar, they don't travel alone. We go in squads. We get in. We kill. We save. We get out. Maybe we collect information, follow a lead. I'm devoted to the cause, but as you have guessed, I'm looking for someone. And that clouds my judgment. I left my last group to die. They died because of me. Because of my pursuit of my brother. So, I have no qualms about self-preservation.
When's the last time you saw your brother?
I don't know, Jake.
how old were you when he was taken in the middle of the night? Were you six, seven?
We were kids.
I was gonna say, yeah, so I mean
But the funny thing about writing a character for a story that you don't know all the details about is...
It's tough.
It's been so long.
He's like, when did you last see your brother? 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I asked Jake, I was like, so how long has the Scarlet Triad been around? You know, like, so I can kind of, you know, make sure that the formation kind of lined up with, like, Grimshaw's lifespan. And Jake's like,
I'm not bullseye. Like,
okay.
I cannot give you that detail.
So Grimshaw's, he says it. He says it. But we, the players in the audience, don't know what Grimshaw said.
Okay, so wait, how old is Grimshaw?
I literally didn't set his age because of this. Like,
skipping over those fields in Path Builder. Lazy.
Yeah, literally.
20 years old.
It's like, my assumption is that it happened when we were young, like, between the ages of 6 and 10. And yeah, I thought of Grimshaw in between the range of... Once again, I chose a very wide swath. He's between 20 and 40.
Okay, so if he's 30, okay, let's put it right in the middle.
Okay,
if he's a ripe 30 years old, then yeah, 20 years ago is when this happened.
Okay.
Now you found through your investigation the Scarlet Triad, so that's who you've been chasing this whole time. But you also know through information, sometimes names change. Sometimes organizations, they try to keep things under wraps. You know, like the you don't know when the Scarlet Triad actually started,
yeah.
Or if they were just under a different name and then adapted it, if they had a name,
right?
You know what I mean? It's not like you're like, all right, I'm gonna go, you know, start up a business of slavery and need to make sure we have a name and get a copyright on it. Like what the fuck?
Back when they were small town mom and pop slavers,
a brick and mortar store,
brick and mortar slavers. Now they're Amazon. So the
whole thing. Well,
that's too on the nose.
Topical.
So I mean the you just know that he was taken when you were eight to ten, around that range, and he was younger. And, he was obviously like a smaller target and easier one to grab, so that's why they took him.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's something that if you kind of like discuss that, like that Elkroy would figure, not figure out the exact time, but like with his kind of background, like say like, oh, they probably weren't known as that at that point. It was probably something like same company, different name. I mean, because his employer did the same exact thing. Changed things around, shuffle things around. You could never pinpoint something. I mean...
With this new information, Jake, is this an opportunity for Elkwood to flex his underground lore?
I remember that you did do an underground lore and found out that the Scarlet Triad disguises themselves as just like a merchant's guild.
Yeah.
Like they run ships, or that's what they say anyway. But the Scarlet Triad itself, from your first check, there's not too much you can gain additionally from that. Just that like their beginning is shadowy, which is why, let me segue this, that's why when Rivazare asked you, Kezra, she wanted to know the origins.
So because the origin, she specifically asked Kezra to find that out.
Yes.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because how powerful they are now. Like, how the hell did they, start? You know, from that shit.
Huh. Well, you say it's been years, and Kezra just gives like a nod. Like, I'm sure he's fine. And he takes a big swig of beer and like looks away.
Yeah.
Wow. I know he's out there. I know he is.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I mean, there must have been a reason why they took him. Besides, why him? I mean, the only thing I would say is
will he be him still? As we know, we just fought necromancers, or a necromancer, and stone giants, and... Well, not trying to put bad thoughts out there, but things have started...
If he is something that he is not supposed to be, then it is my duty to free him.
Of course.
Well, maybe we'll find him tomorrow.
Kezzer gets up, and he goes to bed.
Yeah, I'll say, like, at that point, too, like, because, I mean, I didn't want to just keep saying it, but, like, Vimir is actually back, because, like, and he's just petting him and stuff like that, and kind of, he's, mm-hmm. like, and he's just apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry I didn't bring you into combat. You just are too fucking big for that cavern. I'm sorry. You would take up too much room. Everyone, you would get in the way, and you
just... Everybody wants a large character until you have to fit through small hallways.
And then, that was nice. Hey, he's flying, right? That means he could just glide through the... No, it's like, no. He would have to hop 5 feet. Because I was thinking that. I was like, maybe I could bring him in as a ship. I'm like, oh, he would get in the way. Like, yeah. Instantly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like...
That and the... I mean, God, what's the wingspan on him anyway? Like, jeez.
Yeah,
like,
he couldn't fly just, anywhere.
Yeah, he would move 5 foot. To hop.
5 foot.
Yeah. 5 foot hops.
So, you guys bed down for the night. How far out are you guys, like, camping? Because you know the Scarlet Triad is here and they're on watch. So, like what are you guys doing when it comes to, like...
I think we would utilize Elkwood's excellent tracker abilities and survival skills to place us at a good distance.
Yeah, maybe he can, like... Maybe as we're going, he can, like, see their scout paths. Pick up on how far they've been going out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, and also while we're walking out, he'll be the last one to kind of, like, dust off, like, our footsteps, like, anything that we left behind, cover just the track branch there. Yeah, cover and tracks, I mean, because that is, I mean, as a ranger, he would know how to do that, but,
that would be
a 30 for survival.
30 for a survival, okay. So do you find that the scout trails here, they don't seem to go out, like, too far. You also gotta remember that this is a very secluded and abandoned quarry. So they don't usually have to worry about people just, like, coming by. Especially with the fact that, like, what was his name? Canton Jaltero. He was just like, yep, don't go back. We have guards watching. Right. So, like, nobody thought to come here. You feel pretty confident. You get out far enough, and you guys are able to get your long rest in, so you can go ahead and do that and get everything back.
Yes, I can guide the timeline again. My faith tattoo is back. Ugh.
Finally.
I know, and then now it can be like, oh, did I use that today? Oh, wait, I can use it.
This morning, Kezra tunes the Staff of the Dead for the first time. Instead of the Staff of Fire.
Kezra, could you, like, do that somewhere else? It's very unsettling.
I think it's
steaming black fire.
I'm just gonna pray over there.
I can hear the whispers, God! Make it stop!
Oh, is this distracting you from your goody two shoes, God?
My God breaks chains and kills the oppressor. Goody Two Shoes is not exactly an adjective to describe her.
I know, Melody's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there aren't too many, like, quote unquote, Goody Two Shoes gods in Pathfinder. They're all pretty metal. Except maybe, like, Aridid, but he died.
Yeah, I think he's dead.
Like, weak.
Sounds like a skill issue.
I can transform into the visage of a shepherd to represent hard work. Got merged.
Fucking nerd.
All right. So you guys want to get back up and start heading in?
Yep. Go in the first inlet to the left as soon as you enter the quarry. We're not going to the main spot. We're gonna try to go all the way clockwise around as far as we can go. Basically, to where we were with the north-south decision where Jigaki met us in combat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
sorry. Elka will scout ahead just to see, like, if there's sure. any changes. Like,
oh yeah, that's smart.
Because that's the thing. Like, oh, we left a a cadre of bodies there.
Yes.
So, just to be on the safe side, he's just gonna do perception checks, scout ahead, maybe like 50 or so feet, just to make sure. We'll see.
Gotcha.
He's trying to be tactical.
Yep.
So, stealth. Damn it, of course. A 40. And...
Yep.
Just disappears.
You feel pretty good about that one. I'll say the thing that you recognize immediately when you get in is that the room in which all of the Scarlet Triad members, all the bodies and stuff that were there, they're completely gone.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
How shitty would be if Jigaki was already back and he just...
Oh my god. Hey, we want...
Hey,
he's such a jerk move.
Let me rewrite next episode. Hold on.
It'll be like a Dragon Ball Z intro. Like, you know, when it's like, Frieza? It's like, well, Goku defeat Frieza. Next episode, Frieza defeated.
God,
will Jigaki return? Jigaki returns.
So the one thing that that you will notice because you're stealthing ahead and kind of you're checking it out before you go back to them. When you look out into the quarry, you can see what appears to be a Scarlet Triad member who is giving food to the slaves.
Well, he cares.
And I'll say it's one of the poisoners. It looks as though they have replaced a Drushian.
Oh,
but you can tell that there are more Scarlet Triad members up ahead.
In the quarry?
Not in the quarry. She's out there, and then she had just like thrown some food in, and it is now walking back towards one of the northern ramps.
Hmm. Okay, but you said there's more though. Okay.
Well, at least one.
At least one.
Mm.
The poisoner is the one feeding this guy. Okay. Doesn't sit well. Okay. Well, he will retreat back and let them know. Well, seems like they've already got a new rotation on order.
Well, they probably had to scramble.
Yes. But I see no more giants, so that's something.
Let's keep going.
So yeah, so now it's a really long hallway now.
So now you go through the really long hallway to get where the stone giants were, and you do not see any stone giant corpses either.
Not even the... Well, it's just chopped up pieces. No chopped up pieces?
No pieces.
Okay.
No nothing.
What?
Cleaned.
That is, for some reason, scarier. I don't know why.
There might be a stain or two, but it looks like somebody swept up after you guys.
Hmm. Oh, that's kind of nice.
At least the janitorial staff is on point.
It's just one guy with a mop.
Or better yet, just like a guy with a belt full of wands of prestidigitation.
Listen, no, he has a mop of prestidigitation. Okay,
mop of prestidigitation.
He just touches things, they clean. So
he's got a mop. He's got a Walkman. Big over ear headphones. Yellow jumpsuit.
Definitely dancing to whatever he's got going on in his ears right now. You guys walk through and you see that everything's been cleaned up. There's no bear corpses anymore. There's no piss filled pile of ash where Jigaki's body once was.
Kessler, they even cleaned the smell of your piss. That's impressive.
It is impressive. I got problems.
I didn't think that.
Honestly, it would have been funnier if it was just that was the only thing left. They're like, right. No, we ain't touching that. Like, we'll touch the bear corpses.
Gross.
No.
And you guys begin walking up towards the next room. And you walk for a few hundred feet.
Cool.
And it goes to the north, and then it starts to go east again. And you see light shining through just barely as you start coming around the curve. And I'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's
go. Oh, God. All right.
I know. Jake's like, let me just put in 10 extra Scarlet Triad bonuses in this fight.
Well, hello there, dear listener. Tell me, what is your favorite part of gaming? Is it the dice? Is it perhaps the snacks? Or maybe it's a warm beverage to keep your senses tuned to the game at hand? Well, our friends at Misty Mountain Gaming, they have dice, but did you know that they have tea? Yes, you heard that right. They sell tea. And not just any kind of tea. I'm talking TTRPG themed tea. They have mana crystal sugars, gardens of divinity, fruitful harvest, the skull moth tea thermos. You could even get a thermos that has skulls and moths on it. Yes, it's true that Misty Mountain Gaming has a little something for everyone. So next time you find yourself at the table, wishing there was a warm cup of something in your hands, head on over to Misty Mountain Gaming and use code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout for 10% off. Alright, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye!